You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I'm Catherine Lanfer. John Hockenberry's away. Lee Israel was a respected and best-selling biographer of showbiz characters like Tallulah Bankhead when she found herself in the early 90s with a flopped book, an empty bank account, and on the wrong side of 50. She was getting by on a pastiche of welfare checks and assignments for Soap Opera Digest when she got the idea to write for Dorothy Parker and Noel Coward and other literary luminaries. The fact that they were dead didn't stop her. It enabled her to begin a life of crime in which she forged hundreds of letters and autographs that she then sold to dealers. She details this life of literary crime in her new memoir, Can You Ever Forgive Me? And she joins us here in the studio. Hey, Lee, welcome.
Catherine, hello. The fact that they were dead enabled me to do it. They would have probably objected.
They probably would have. Could you please give us a portrait, if you will, of where you were and what was going on in your life when you started on this path?
Well, I was in my apartment at 98 Riverside Drive, my small apartment that I'd had for years, and I was at the point of not being able to pay the rent and on the verge of eviction, and my cat was ill, and I couldn't afford to diagnose her properly, which was the proximate cause of my transgressions. I was poor. I was dirt poor. I wasn't eating roots in Somalia, but I was in trouble.
And what was the first step you took on this journey?
I guess I stole some Fanny Bryce letters from Lincoln Center Library. They were small little bread and butter notes. They didn't seem to mean anything, and I needed $40 to pay my cat's doctor. And I took the letters and I sold them across the park to Argosy Bookstore, and I had some jingle in my jeans for the first time in a very long time.
Let's move from that first step to the full flower, if you will, of your life of crime. You were forging letters for Dorothy Parker and Noel Coward. How did you even do that?
Well, I got what I called an ER letter, which was the letter on which I based other letters. I took note of the style, the indention, spaces between paragraphs, spaces between sentences. And I, with an old typewriter, which would have been coeval with these particular writers, I made up stuff that they could have and would have said in a letter.
How did you do that?
I researched. I got into the skin of. I knew I had an ear for such a thing because I'd written biography. I'd written satire. So I combined the two, research, good ear, and an ability to get within the style and the persona of people with iconic large personalities that had always attracted me.
Was anybody ever suspicious of any of these letters? Because you wrote dozens and dozens and sold dozens and dozens of them.
Yeah, of course they were. It was crazy to think that I'd have this huge treasure trove of so many letters. But people were making money. Not all of them became suspicious. Not all of them knew, but certainly some of them, meaning the autograph dealers, came to know.
Did you ever feel bad about those people who thought they were buying an authentic letter when it was just a forgery that you'd created, made up?
I never thought about them. Actually, there was somebody called, one of the dealers called to thank me and to tell me that a school teacher somewhere in Ohio who had bought the letter, a Louise Brooks letter, was thrilled to have it. I've changed the state to protect the innocent here. I hope he's continuing to be thrilled with it. But it's a flim-flam business, and I contributed to the flim-flammery.
What sort of remorse do you feel?
I no night sweats. I know that I, about the forgeries, I tell you, frankly, Catherine, none at all. They were fun. They were larky. People made money. People enjoyed them all along, and enjoyed them
now. So why
not
just make them fiction? It's disturbing a little that this was something that you did that was illegal and that you were deceiving people. When you could have written a fiction book with those made-up letters, as opposed to purporting them and handing them out to be true versions written by, say, Dorothy Parker.
I tried to do respectable fiction and or humor and or reviews. Nobody was buying Lee Israel anymore.
Well, they're buying Lee Israel now. Talk about the reaction to this memoir.
It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. I never got reviews like this in my life when I was writing respectable books. They're the kind of reviews that an author just obviously yearns for. The Times, New York Times Sunday section, the most important venue in the world, called the book. I have to blow my own bugle now because no one's here to talk on my behalf. Pretty damn wonderful. It's climbing up on Amazon. People are loving it. People are loving it. And yes, they've forgiven me, most of them.
And so you were convicted of what crime?
I wasn't convicted for the forgeries. There was a grand jury sat, but for some reason, it's not unusual, they simply gave it up. But I was finally convicted of the stealing from important letters from literary archives in colleges throughout the country.
Now, Lee, how soon before we see the movie?
I don't know. I'm just
so there've been movie rights sold.
Signing it today to a company called This Is That. I ran one of their movies the other night, The Savages. It's wonderful. And we'll see. Everybody has a movie deal, right? This one may be done, and that would be something.
All right, Lee, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That's Lee Israel, a biographer and copy editor and author of Can You Ever Forgive Me? Memoirs of a Literary Forger. And I know that we will have more about this on our website, thetakeaway.org. Going to turn now to Femi Okeh and the latest headlines. Thanks, Femi.
Good morning, Catherine. 21 minutes to the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.